we right now are beginners. And so Buddha also was at some stage a beginner and also had arising negative thoughts and afflictions. However, Buddha didn't act on those afflictions and arising negative thoughts. And in the Sutra of Great Liberation, it's mentioned all of these Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. And how do they all become Buddhas and Bodhisattvas? They also went through the process of transforming their own mind streams. And eventually, they attained the perfect result of Buddhahood. However, in the process of doing this, they also went through the process of practice and they experienced many different sufferings. And really, some of the difficulties, the hardships, the sufferings that some of the practitioners experience, generally most people wouldn't be able to endure. They really needed to practice a lot of forbearance. We all, in the process of practicing, are going to endure all kinds of criticism, slander, judgments. And for all of those, we will need to learn to practice forbearance. The question is, are we willing or not willing to forbear this? In reality, most of the time, we're not willing to forbear this. The question is, as a practitioner, do we have this ability to practice forbearance? Do we have this state of mind? Do we have this attitude? It is only through overcoming our own emotions that we will then be able to transcend others. Who are the objects of our practice? What are we paying attention to and transforming is our own emotions. What other people are doing, what has that got to do with us? When we are facing the problems with others, use compassion. And what is it that others feel when we are using compassion? That they don't have the ability to influence us. People with worldly concerns may think that they are able to influence or they have influence over the bodhisattvas, especially those from the first bhumi upwards. However, the reality is that they are not influencing the bodhisattvas. The bodhisattvas are going along with sentient beings. Why? Because they are helping to satisfy the wants and the wishes of sentient beings. They just go along with you. They don't oppose you and give you a hard time. They just carry on with us. It may be like a boss and an employee, and the employee is doing whatever the boss is doing. This is what it might be appearing to be. However, the bodhisattva is just going along with this person, with the worldly person, just to make them feel comfortable, to satisfy their wishes. And what people need is not material things. What they need is supramundane development. What they are aspiring to is developing in a supramundane way, in a spiritual way, not in a material way. And these really are two completely different paths. When we look at the lives and the biographies of Buddha and of many of these great masters, when we see what they get up to, we might think, oh, we are actually a little bit more wise or intelligent than these great masters. But this is not really the case. What is happening? The great masters are going along with sentient beings. This is the aspiration, is to benefit sentient beings. And this is very difficult for material people to understand. They are going according to the wishes of sentient beings. Normal people are not doing this. When people say no, we say yes. When people say up, we go down. Really, the wish, the aspiration of bodhisattvas is really inexpressible. We all made the aspiration to bodhicitta. And what is the aspiration? What are we doing as bodhisattvas? We are benefiting sentient beings. We are serving sentient beings. We've already made this aspiration to benefit and serve sentient beings. And we made this aspiration before all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. We made this aspiration before the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. So now we must start putting it into action. What are we doing in order to benefit sentient beings in terms of the Dharma? We serve them. What is the purpose of the Guru? Is to serve sentient beings. His work is to help and benefit sentient beings. And a certain portion of this he goes about doing, or she goes about doing. In Buddhism, we treat everything with equanimity. And so from ourselves, we must start treating everything with equanimity. And with this type of attitude, every day we practice bodhicitta. Every day, every moment, how can we benefit sentient beings? look at these great masters, from practicing within the caves, on the road, benefiting sentient beings, in the monasteries, benefiting sentient beings, helping in whichever ways. Why? They're doing this not because this is what they want. It's not their wish for something that they want to have. They're doing it because they've made this aspiration, and now they're putting this aspiration into action. Everybody's made this pure aspiration, and now we can go and recite mantras and really develop this within our mind. What we can do is that all of those beings with which we have a karmic connection with, that we can benefit them. And may we have what we need in order to be able to eat and to sleep and to be able to drink. And it's also good that we realize that our life is intricately involved, interconnected with countless other lives. Just think, from when we are born until we have grown up until today, our life has been interdependent with how many other sentient beings. And so when we are reciting mantras moment by moment, we must have given rise to compassion. Let me recite this text for all of my karmic creditors, for my parents. It's not for myself that I am reciting this, it's for the benefit of all sentient beings. Think of, in our life, how much have we eaten? How much have we drunk? What have we worn? Everything that we've had. All of this has come about because of and in connection with other sentient beings. And so all of my listening to the Dharma, all of my listening to teachings, my practice, reciting mantras, reciting texts, meditation, the benefits of all of these practices, I should naturally be dedicating towards them, that they may receive the merit thereof. Sometimes when we are doing our dedications, it's almost like that we're not really willing to do the dedication, or I shouldn't actually do the dedication. This is what it sometimes really feels like. However, if we do this with compassion, then whenever we are acting out of compassion, then this life of ours is a life of a bodhisattva. Really, do you think a person that has compassion is not going to attain Buddhahood? Every moment that they have compassion, they are benefiting sentient beings, their mind is pure. Definitely, they are eventually going to attain Buddhahood. We are practicing diligently for the benefit of sentient beings. It is those people without compassion that are not willing to practice. The essence of the practice of the Mahayana Buddhism is bodhicitta. And whoever practices will be able to realize great, vast compassion. And why? Because our inherent nature is rigpa. And the result of the practice is that we just naturally give rise to compassion towards sentient beings. And then when our whole being is virtuous, is kind, then our whole life is that of a bodhisattva. And the Chinese students are very easily able to practice bodhicitta. Why? Because they have a very strong connection with Chenrezig, with Avalokitesvara. Don't you all look like Avalokitesvara? Have a look at the appearance of Avalokitesvara, Guanyin Buddha. Don't you all look similar? Really, we can see the resemblance. Exactly like Chenrezig. The splitting images of Chenrezig. Look, the way your eyes look, the way your mouth looks, the same. The purpose that we are here on this and have this life is naturally that we should increase in compassion. We should be improving and living a higher level existence, not a lower level of existence. We already have this incredibly good fortune, a good merit to have this human life. The next step, the only higher step that we can go, is the level of the bodhisattvas. Isn't what we want to have better, more plentiful, nicer, more comfortable? And isn't this why we are working so hard in this direction? And so we want to have a better life, not to live a lower status of existence. As we improve, as we increase, develop in wisdom, in compassion, in kindness, in bodhicitta, then we are living a higher and higher level of existence. However, if we let ourselves regress and drop down in our level of existence, then we find that we have a lot more afflictions and worries. And have you noticed those people that aspire so much in terms of these material concerns, and they engage in all of these negative activities, and their afflictions grow and grow. They are following more and more negative karma. And then the people have the opportunity to go to the top of the mountain. They go to the monastery. They meet the practitioners and they feel like, oh, this feels so good. This feels so much better. They almost feel like they have freedom and they're natural because they're feeling the effect of living a higher existence. And we have this human life. The next step really is the level of bodhicitta. And that is why from the human life it is so much easier to attain this state of bodhisattva or Buddhahood. Because we already have such a high level of existence in having this human life. Really, having this human life is already an incredible accomplishment or of incredibly great merit. And then on top of this, we practice, and then really this life of ours is very different. Sometimes we experience these discomforts, we experience the result of negative karma, and we don't really want to endure this, experience this. However, this is really removing, consuming a lot of our past negative karma. When we are experiencing some of these difficulties, maybe we are feeling ill, then what we can do is practice something like Tonglen, or exchanging our happiness for the suffering of others. The thing is, when we have a little bit of discomfort or a little bit of illness, we can overcome this. We can forbear this. Just the thing is, we're not willing to. Some of these afflictions we can transform into wisdom. We can transform them into bodhicitta. Through meditation, we can transform them into positive energy. The only thing is, we are not willing to do this. And this unwilling to do this is karma. Thus, continuously repent one's negative karma. On one hand, we must repent all our negativities. The other hand, we must practice compassion. Any practitioner that practices the great perfection without compassion will not be successful in the practice. It might be that they have reached quite a high state of practice. However, if we ask them, do they have compassion? If they don't have compassion, then they are not practicing on the right path. What is the perfect realization of the great perfection? Is the perfection of wisdom and the perfection of compassion and the perfection of belief. This is the great perfection.